Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the investor call of Cosmo First Limited to discuss the Q3 and 9-month FY24 results. Today, we have with us from the management, Group CEO, Mr. Pankaj Poddar, and Group CFO, Mr. Neeraj Jain. Starting off with the statutory declarations, certain statements in the conference call may be forward-looking. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are subject to uncertainties and changes in the circumstances. These statements are not guarantees of future results. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now may I request Mr. Neeraj Jain, CFO of Cosmo First Limited, to take us through his opening remarks, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Neeraj Jain, Group CFO at Cosmo First, along with my colleague, Mr. Pankaj Poddar, Group CEO at Cosmo First. Our financial results for December 23 quarter and investors presentation, both are available on company's website. You may like to review the same. We'll start the call with a brief on the performance of the company, which may be followed by questions. First, talking about flexible packaging business. During December 23 quarter, the domestic margin both on BOPP and BOPET shrank further due to desperate and below-cost selling resorted by the industry. The company could withstand the disorderly market movements and outperform the industry at large on the strength of its specialty film portfolio. BOPP film margin has been running at close to 9 rupees per kg during December 23 quarter, as against 18 rupees per kg during September 23 quarter. BOPET margins were running negative on commodity part of business. Overall, the margins remain historically lowest. The company could post 9% consolidated EBITDA, mainly on the back of specialty film, and outperformed as we discussed. Consolidated sale for December 23 quarter is 625 crore rupees, which is 6% lower compared to September 23 quarter, mainly due to lower volume. The company actually has kept about 5% of capacity under shutdown due to lower margins running in the industry. Out of the capacity shutdown in quarter 3, the partially company has restarted the sale from January 24 onwards. Coming to EBITDA for the quarter is 56 crore rupees as compared to 72 crore rupees in September 23 quarter. As indicated earlier, the EBITDA is lower due to further drop in domestic margin, both in BOPP and BOPET funds. The near-term outlook for BOPP and BOPET margins is expected to remain subdued because of substantial capacity addition in the industry. At the same time, we are expecting some upcoming capacity to get deferred, which should help in normalization of margins in medium term, although it will be very difficult to time the same. The company's credit rating has been reaffirmed by CRISIL as AA-, along with a stable outlook in January 2024. During December 23 quarter, the company has commenced operations of two business verticals related to packaging industry. First, metallized capacitor film for electronic industry. Second, rigid packaging under the brand name Plastec. The company is expecting to reach full capacity utilization of capacitor film metallizer in quarter 1 of FY25. The capacitor Metalizer is estimated to generate close to 40 crore rupees of annual sale at full capacity utilization with double-digit EBITDA, which we expect from FY25. The market size of capacitor film in India is about 15,000 metric tons. In phase one, Cosmo's capacity is 600 metric tons annual. Coming to rigid packaging business launched under the brand name Cosmo Plastec, this actually will manufacture in-wall containers and sheets for a wide range of FMCG products, particularly for food industry. It's a very large market of about 10,000 crores in India. Cosmo's capacity in phase one will be close to 5,000 metric ton, which can generate between 75 to 80 crore rupees of annual sales at full capacity utilization. The market response for Plastec launch has been very exciting, very good, and company expects to hit more than 80% capacity utilization in next 2 to 3 quarters with, of course, contribution towards EBITDA. The company, if you recollect, previous quarter we announced some core specialization steps. So moving towards that, the initiatives are working fine as per plan, and we expect bottom line addition of cost rationalization initiatives from FY25. We expect annual bottom line addition of between 45 to 50 crore rupees from all these initiatives from FY25. Moving to specialty films, BOPP specialty film sales is running close to 64% of total volume on December YTD basis, compared to 63% last year. In BOPET as well, the company has started selling specialty for about 10 to 15% of volume. The company is working towards launch of sun control film, high shin film, and many other films to enhance specialty on BOPET line as well. It may please be noted that even in such a challenging market, the company's specialty margins broadly remain intact in line with the last year, except for some mix change impact and uneven orders from a specialty export customer having high margins. As we discussed earlier, we expect these specialty orders to inflow back from FY25. Now, I'll move to packaging growth projects. Work on our BOPP and CPP line is progressing in line with the plan. Both the lines will be world's largest production capacity lines and will increase company's production capacity by close to 45 to 50% in a phased manner by March 2025. With high-speed line and larger width, it will rationalize cost of production between 3 to 5% depending on product. Moving to companies subsidiary into specialty chemicals. The specialty chemical subsidiary is progressing as per plan and is at the cusp of delivering double-digit EBITDA with high teens ROSI from FY25. Coating chemicals and adhesives, along with master batches, these three verticals within specialty chemical will drive future growth for company's subsidiary. Moving to pet care vertical, Zigli. Zigli has undergone revamping of its IT infrastructure, making it future ready for harnessing the exponential growth expected in the industry. The marketing attrition has been improving with improvement in ROAS, which stands for Return on Advertising Spends, and other key parameters. The current monthly revenue, which is GMV, is about 4 crore rupees monthly. This is on the back of course, expanding retail footprints with 23 stores and increased online presence. With the exponential growth of the pet care industry in India, we are confident for Ziggly to become a significant wealth creator. Moving to growth and balance sheet key indicators, the company is looking for close to 400 crore capex in next 1.5 years, broadly on the BOPP and CPP line from now onwards. Company's net debt at December 23 is close to 600 crore rupees, which is 2.4 times to EBITDA and 0.46 times to equity, and financials remain strong. I think with this, I will take a pause and open the call for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. And the first question is from the line of Gaurav from Investec Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. My question to the management is that when the margins are shrinking like this, so the first thing as an investor we would like to seek is that is there any prior incident when such kind of a rock bottom margins were last observed? And second thing, the kind of even expansion that we are taking up in the BOPP and the BOPET, right? So what is the rationale that when margins are shrinking like anything like this, and we are expanding our capacity, so isn't this going to increase the supply in the market and further reduce the margins, or how is it? So these are my two questions to the management. Thanks.
Yeah, so as far as BOPP is concerned, there is not so much of overcapacity, though margins have certainly shrunk. I would also like to tell that, see, though we have reported 9% EBITDA, but we are having close to 2% EBITDA losses from all of our new businesses, largely coming from Ziggy. And then close to 2% EBITDA losses also happening, on polyester business. So effectively, if you talk about BOPP, we are, in spite of such a tough market, we are running quite a healthy business. As far as the new capacity is coming, we are not coming up in any BOPET capacity. What we had come up was a year and a half ago. Our clear target there is also to move into specialty. We are happy to share that by December end, we have already reached 15% specialty. The January, the run rate has moved to 18%. We will continue to grow our specialty business in BOPET also. And we expect that even when there are contribution losses at a variable cost, Osmo will be able to break even and start making money in 3 to 4 quarters from now. So there's one capacity addition that we're doing in BOPP. We do expect that by the time a line comes, the demand and supply will be very nicely balanced, and market will require a line. And obviously, what we can also say is that what we are finding is that the current margins in BOPP are definitely not logical, because they're hardly 5 to 10% over capacity market. Unfortunately, some of our competition is not able to export enough, and they are following a policy of price reduction. But to me, this is personally not sustainable for too long.
Sir, within this, I asked a question that is there any prior incidents when we have observed such kind of a rock bottom pricing? In the history, last one decade, two decades, have you seen such kind of a low rock bottom margins?
I would say at least if you talk about since 2000 onwards, on 2-3 occasions it has happened that margins have remained subdued for close to a year or so. The good thing is in the past, whenever such things had happened, Osmo also struggled to report profitable EBITDA. One change which we've been able to bring in last few years is that BOPP on its standalone is making reasonable margins.
Thanks a lot. And any guidance on that? What would be the maximum debt that we would be looking in a year or two, considering we are at now as I think 600 crore, and considering the expansion we are taking up, what would be the maximum top of debt that we would be looking, that we could sustainably service considering the margins that we are running now?
It's very difficult, you know, because if the markets improve, then the things look differently, and if the markets don't improve, things look differently. But we are going to take additional, we are basically doing 400 more capex in next 1.5 years, and after that, we have not gone ahead with more projects. So these were committed projects which we had committed 2-3 years back, which we are finishing them. And if the current situation prevails, then obviously we will not further capex till the time the market improves. But what we feel is that if you're doing 400 crores and we are generating cash from operations, so we personally expect that the total debt level should stay around 900-950 crores in those range. Yeah, Neeraj can give more clarity.
And just to add to it, you see, even at the peak level of debt also, we don't expect, you know, net debt to EBITDA to exceed 3 times.
That's great. Thanks a lot. I will come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agarwal from Leeway Investment. Please go.
Hello. Good afternoon. My question is regarding how much money we have invested in rigid packaging line and the other line we started, that is capacitor films.
In the capacitor, we have created infrastructure for 2 lines. We have ordered 1 line, and we have invested close to 23 crores. The incremental capex for the second line should be 15 crores. So right now it's 23, and so effectively the infrastructure is built for 2 lines. And as far as on the window film or the heat protection films, we have
rigid packaging.
Yeah, rigid packaging, the total capex is close to 100 crores.
We've already invested that, or we're supposed to invest further?
No, all put together.
So are these lines adjustable to BOPP line, or they are separate lines altogether?
Sorry?
Is this infrastructure totally separate to the existing lines of BOPP and BOPT?
Yeah. This is there in the same premises. But the assets are under different halls. So we have basically 2 sheet lines. We have 12 injection molding lines. And we have 2 thermoforming lines. These are the total investments we have done as a part of RIGID.
In this next year, 2-5, we are expecting both the RIGID packaging as well as capacitive films lines working more than 50% capacity, right?
Yeah, we have just started this in September, but these businesses, we expect that capacity fill-up should happen faster. The beauty about these businesses is that it will help us to connect with the brands in a much bigger way, because these are going to be sold directly to the business, to the brands, where there's a cost-plus pricing. Unlike film, which get impacted so much by the market vagaries, in the rigid business, you sell to the brands on a cost-plus model.
And my next question is regarding, if I heard it right, that you said BOPT line was shut down for because of lesser margins during the month of December. And it has started from the 1st of January. Am I right?
The closure also happened. One is obviously the market conditions, but also typically that's the Diwali time and Christmas time. And during the holiday time, typically the demand dips. So one is anyways there's a pressure on, pressure because of oversupply. And then there was a further impact because of Diwali and Christmas. We decided rather than to, sell below our cost, it's better that we shut down a small capacity. And which we have already, Neeraj has clarified that in January, most of that capacity, it's just 5%, and most of it has already been restarted in January.
Right now, the margins are improved compared to the last quarter?
I don't think so. No, not really. Till now, the margins have not improved.
So, any reason that you started the line again?
Yeah, because now that, you know, there was a temporary blip in the demand. So, overall, with this additional volume, we will make some absolute, slightly better absolute margin. But what I was trying to answer is that in the market at large, the markets, margins of the commodity film has not gone up. But certainly, we are trying to for more exports.
Okay. And my last question is regarding exports only. Has the Red Sea, because we are exporting our goods through Red, must be through shipping only. So is the Red Sea problems created our export to slow down, or have they hit the margins of exports?
Honestly, it has not impacted us much, barring the fact that the freight cost did go up in end of December till January. And we now hope that by March, the freight rates would come down. In majority of the cases, we were able to recover freight from the customer. But though there were some cases, because it was such a short window, that some customers didn't agree to pay. So, I mean, it's not very major impact to our P&L. There is some impact to P&L, but it's not so significant.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Chauhan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, just wanted to ask that we are also investing in Ziggly, and it also requires working capital apart from growth capex. So beyond that 400 crore capex that we are setting up, how much cash will be, it's been allocated towards Ziggly and even our specialty chemicals business?
Yeah, so one of the things that we expect in the next year is that most of our new businesses will start earning money. So whether it's a Cosmo Specialty Chemical or Rigid Packaging, Cosmo Plastec, both these businesses will start earning money. Ziggly right now is making losses full year at close to 30 crores at EBITDA level. And we do expect that next year also, we will be making, though the budgets are not yet finalized, but we will be making closer to similar loss numbers. But month on month, we are growing on the revenue side. And it's a very high valuation accretion business. I'm sure the investors must be reading the valuations which are being given to, multiple players in the pet care industry. You know, they are still small and getting very good valuations because the industry is expected to grow very significantly in the years to come. Ziggly as such doesn't require much of a working capital other than some inventories that we have to keep in retail because all the sales is on cash. So there's no receivables which gets involved, just the inventory per store that we have to add up and some inventory levels at the warehouse. But we do not expect any major movement on the working capital side. We will continue to incur some losses when it comes to Ziggly business.
Okay. And, sir, in terms of Ziggly also, I mean, how are we competitively placed and who are the largest players in this industry? And what is the competitive advantage that we have or we are trying to build in this business?
Yes, we are the only player which has built an ecosystem where, you know, we are providing veterinary services, we are giving diagnostics, we are giving grooming, there are training services, and along with the product line, the entire range of product line, and we continue to build some of our own house brands within Ziggly as such. It's just the beginning of the house brand, but we will continue to build more house brands in the times to come. So the best thing is that we have the entire ecosystem which is available online and offline, both for the customers.
And sir, about peers, who are our peers who are also doing similar kind of work?
Yeah, so there are two, three players which have now become prominent because a lot of investments have come from PE players in them. So one is Heads Up for Tail, which I think one and a half years back was, if I recollect correctly, on a 75 crore revenue, they were valued for 750 crores. Second is Super Tails, which got a valuation yesterday only. I think for a small stake, they got $15 million capital. Apparently, their valuation has been done for 1,500 to 2,000 crores. And third is JustDolls, which is largely into retail. But obviously, we are the only players who have built the entire ecosystem as such. But these three players are emerging players, and there are a lot of other small players also. And most of them are getting valuations because this industry will be, will be a growth-oriented industry in the times to come.
Okay. And so lastly, what would be our sales of Ziggly on a quarterly basis?
Yes, so the monthly run rate has now increased to roughly 3 crores on a net revenue basis. On a gross level basis, we are close to 4 CR.
Okay. So thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zinal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. So the first question is, how do we define our specialty or semi-specialty in commodity business? Would be helpful if you can put more color on this.
Yeah, so specialty is defined where, there are either no competitors or there are just 2-3 competitors around the world where we have stable margins and most of the business is MOU-oriented. Semi-speciality is something which is where the margins are linked to commodity, but normally you end up getting some better margins on those products versus commodity products. And commodities, which is completely linked to the market, domestic market, where if the margins go up, you earn more, and if the margins go down, you earn less.
Okay. Second question is, so what among the total sales, how much percentage is contracted sales in 2023? And the contract, do we do it on financial year basis or calendar year basis?
We operate on a financial year basis, and most of our export sales is MOU driven. And as far as specialty is concerned, on a year to date, last year we did 63%, and this year we have hovered at 64%. Obviously, there was a decline last year from September till June of this year, and now for the last 5-6 months, we are seeing an upswing in the specialty business.
Okay. And this contract sales, would it be on higher prices? And is there any revision of the contract for 2024? Does company expect less margins in this business?
Not really.
Okay. And just want to understand the profitability and volume of coating and thermal lamination films and specific business. How is the problem?
These are specific details we do not divulge.
Pardon?
These are specific details which we do not divulge.
Achha, okay. And what is the current debt level of the company and how company is planning to repay the same as we could see that EBITDA is going down?
Yeah, so we are sitting at 2.4 times to EBITDA, so it's not, we are in quite comfortable situation. And we have a treasury of 400 crores, so I don't see that to be of any concern as such.
And just to add to it, you will also notice, you see, at the end of the December, some of the capacity is not at full utilization. And on the top of it, some of the capex has already been done on the CPP and BOPP line, which is yet to generate the revenue and the bottom line. So that means with the time to come, once the full capacity is operational, these numbers will further get rationalized.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted some more color on your specialty and semi-specialty business. See, I mean, it is somewhat counterintuitive that despite having a very high share of these businesses, our margins overall are falling like a commodity company itself. So I mean, what is causing such high fall in the margin despite you claiming that two-thirds of the business coming from a specialty? Because mathematically, if you run the numbers, it shouldn't have fallen so much.
First of all, as I have stated in the beginning of the call, that we have reported 9%, but we have to also understand that we have incurred close to 2% EBITDA loss in our new businesses, especially Ziggly. And then we have also incurred close to 2% EBITDA losses in polyester, where the business is still largely commodity, only 15% in December we could reach to specialty numbers. So BOPP business still is at a very healthy level. The second thing is that you have to also see vis-a-vis competition results, you know, in terms of how they are performing. I would not like to name any of them. Investors can check in terms of the what is the industry profitability and what value Cosmo is able to bring in such tough conditions.
Understood, sir. And in
we never said that, you know, we will totally be not impacted by what's going on in the industry, because we still have close to 35% commodity business and close to 25% of semi-speciality business, which does get impacted by the commodity margins. So, you know, we will have that impact. In good times, obviously, those businesses will earn more. In bad times, we will get impacted. But what we can clearly show that is that, obviously, how the industry is performing and how Cosmo is performing.
So, request you to refer which has been recently updated, which has a slide very clearly indicating separately the margins for the specialty, semi-specialty in the commodity part of business. And you will see a dip there very clearly in the commodity part of business. But the specialty is largely more prone to these ups and downs. Semi-specialty obviously had some impact, but obviously very low compared to the commodity part of business.
Understood. And is there any part of the business which was previously considered as a specialty but is now understood to be more commoditized given how some of the fall in the margin has happened? So have we also changed any classification between these three buckets of products pursuant to this fall in the margins?
It has nothing to do with the fall in the margins. We do this exercise every 6 months, and if we find that any segment is gradually becoming semi-speciality or from semi-speciality to commodity, that is reclassified on a 6-monthly basis. Good market, bad market, we do this analysis 6-monthly, and wherever there is a shift in the, you know, in the speciality categorization or semi-speciality categorization, we do that.
Understood. So that's what I wanted to understand, that let's say you are having 65% under this category, let's say one-third. So going forward, let's say in another couple of years, what portion of these speciality and semi-speciality would slip to the commodity segment? And how do we plan to sort of mitigate that?
We have a very big pipeline of new products, and if you see our last 5 years, every year we have grown on the specialty numbers. Only when last year, you know, because of post-COVID, there were supply chain corrections that we had a small dip. I mean, it was a reasonable dip, it was not a small dip, for 6-7 months, or let's say 9 months. But beyond that, for 5 years, we continue to grow. There are some segments which during the years might have come down on margins and categorized from, you know, one level to second level and then to third level. But overall, we have grown. So we have a very strong product line where we will continue to push this and continue to grow our specialty and semi-specialty business.
Understood, sir. And sir, from a capital allocation perspective now, I think most of the money is going to be spent on the BOPP lines, etc., which will have a similar nature. And while we are investing in the adjacent business like the rigid plastics and all that, do we see that, you know, a major chunk of our allocation of capital going forward can be into the adjacent area rather than the core area? or how do we see the overall opportunities that we have?
Yeah, so after this new BOPP line, I don't think so for next few years we are going to invest in any of these film lines. If you really see, even our last BOPP line came in 2017. And after 17, the next BOPP line is coming in 2025. So that way we have kept a very good gap between the BOPP. The polyester line was meant for specialty, and as I said in the last call, that because our shrink film line had certain initial issues which got sorted out only in December end, which we are going to scale up very significantly in next 2 to 3 years. So polyester line was actually not supposed to compete on the commodity products, but we had to go that route because of delay in our PETG, you know, capability part, which is now fully sorted out. So, you know, we are not going to invest in these BOPP, BOPET lines for next few years. And the new allocations would actually be done in all the new businesses, whether these are window film businesses, whether it's a rigid packaging, chemical business, or Ziggly. These are the four businesses where we will be investing more in the times to come. In the film business, our investments will go more on the value addition part. So it could be, you know, some kind of coatings or any special kind of metallization and things like that. Those are the areas which you would like to invest. This is one of the reasons that last 3-4 years we are looking at areas beyond film. And therefore you have seen that we have invested in capacitor, window film. These are all very unique areas. But the challenge in these areas is that if you invest in new area, you have to, you know, it takes some time to start yielding results. And as I said, rigid business is expected to start yielding results much faster. So is the chemical now. It should start yielding quite decent results from next year. So there's always a 2-3 year lag when you start some of these new businesses. But good thing is that in the good times, you've invested in these new businesses, and this will help us to continue growth in the coming years.
And these adjacencies, are they sort of big enough for you?
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, sir. We request you to return to the follow-up.
Sure.
Please. Yeah, thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, what is our cumulative capex for Petcare vertical?
You see, Petcare vertical is not capex centric, except, you know, some capex needs to be done while you open the store. There is no significant capex as such. So it's largely opex centric, and as Pankaj said, we are close to 30 crore rupee of negative EBITDA in the current financial year for the Ziggly.
But the good thing is, in Ziggly, the percentage losses on revenue are continuously coming down, and they will continue to come down before we reach a point of start making money in that business.
So can you quantify what is our current EBITDA loss as percentage of revenue for the latest month?
Latest month, we are still hovering close to 90% to 100%, I mean roughly close to 80% to 90%, somewhere in that range.
But you see, that's a business which we should see in a different way, because a large part of the OPEX or the CAPEX, the structure on the cost is committed now. With the revenue growth which we expect in the years to come, so those costs as percentage to revenue will get rationalized, and over a period of time you will see it making the positive EBITDA.
Sir, my second question is, in light of substantially reduced cash flows in our core film business, are we reviewing any of our capital-intensive projects like BOPET line, and where we are spending roughly 350 crores of rupees? Are we rescheduling it or postponing it? So what is the management's thinking?
You see, as we said, from now onwards, we have commitment of close to 400 crore rupee of capex, largely on the BOPP line and CPP line. So besides these, currently we are not reviewing any other major project. I do not see any major capex having in next 2 years, 3 years time.
No, question was, are we rescheduling this line also?
Not really. One is it's already too late, and second is, as I said earlier, that we understand that BOPP margins are so low, but we also said that BOPP oversupply is not so bad. So right now, some of the players perhaps are intentionally have cut down their prices, which is to us is not logical. Better sense will prevail in this market, and we do expect that in 12 months of time, the demand and supply should be pretty balanced, and margins in any case should go up. So I don't see that as a huge concern as such. Though obviously, then our line will come up, and we'll see at that point in time. And by that time, we also expect the specialty will continue to grow. But to answer your question, we are not expecting to delay this process. That will be problematic in the sense that we have already done a major part of the capex, so that is not going to help really to defer that capex. We will start earning money on that BOPP line, irrespective given the wide variety of products that Cosmo makes when it comes to BOPP films.
And sir, my last question is regarding share of speciality and semi-speciality. It is hovering around 63-64% since last 1.5 to 2 years. Means we are not able to move that percentage higher. So does it mean that our new products are not gaining market acceptance? So what is your view on that, sir?
No, actually, the European market was quite subdued. Actually, it went down, as I said earlier. In fact, in last year, one of the months it exceeded 70% when the going was going very well. Though the quarter numbers were still at 66-67%, but 1 month we touched 70%+. And then all of a sudden supply chain corrections happened and it went down to 57%. It has gone up again to 67% in the last month. And one of the segments where we are present, there the supply chain corrections as per the customer has still not completed. And therefore, that segment numbers are not coming, which otherwise was quite reasonable to us. So if that segment had been operating now, we would have crossed or we would have been close to 70% again. So we are growing. It's just that, the supply chain corrections hurted us in between. And now we are seeing a new speed of growth coming in the specialty.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best. I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S.B. Bhaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So my question is only one. Pankaji, you just now said that, right, you have seen these sort of cycles twice since the year 2000. So what is your experience, sir, actually? How long it continues, 12 months, 18 months or whatever? And, this particular cycle, what we are seeing right now, when is it started? If you can just throw light on that.
So typically what we have seen is these cycles remain from a year to 2 years. When it comes to BOPET, it's already been 18 months now. But to be honest, in BOPET, we never had seen so much of overcapacity. Right now, when I talk about BOPET films, there's close to 30% overcapacity. Which is quite a difficult scenario. So it's very difficult to project that when the BOPET margins will become positive. As a company, when it comes to BOPET, our focus remains on creating specialty portfolio. As I said, that December we touched 15%, January we touched close to 18%. So we are putting a lot of efforts on increasing specialty in the BOPET business. And as I said earlier, that in next 3 to 4 quarters, we expect that in a such a worst market, we'll start to break even and start making some money even in the BOPET business side. Coming to BOPP, there is not so much of overcapacity, but some players are resorting to, price reductions just to, make sure their lines are running. To me, that's not so logical, honestly, but but we have to live with the market realities. We do hope that in next 12 months, demand and supply should be more balanced and BOPP should perform better. But to answer you, in the past, we have seen that these are lived for 12 to 24 months.
And when this cycle, the present cycle is started, in your opinion?
I wish, you know, that only God can tell. On a rational basis, BOPP should not take so much time. On a rational basis, COVID, there is a lot of overcapacity. So that can take time. But typically what we have seen is, even last time when it happened in BOPET in 17-18, what we saw is one major player globally bursted and then immediately the margins improved. So, you know, these are situations where something has to change. And it all depends who has how much capability to, you know, literally deal with it. And then something happens, either the raw material starts falling short or you know, something happens with somebody or the other and the demand keeps growing and then the margins get corrected. So this is a cycle in the commodity cycle and, you know, we have to live with it. So as far as projections are concerned, I can give you a rational projection where times it does not go completely with the logic as well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Miraj from Aryan Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to ask you to if you could just mention the contribution margins that you answered in the previous question. I missed that part. How have they moved in from Q3 till date in BOPET and BOPP both? Hello?
You see, in Q3, there was a drop very clearly in the both businesses, BOPP and BOPET. You asked Q3 versus Q2 or you asked Q3 versus Q4?
No, no, sir. From Q3 till date, so in the month of Jan and just the start of February, first week of February, we could just highlight how margins have moved. So are they on the improving trend or are they the same or have they gone down?
So far, the margins is running broadly in line with the Q3.
Understood. Okay. And sir, by when do you expect a recovery in these margins? Is it still a 6-month game or do you think it's more of an extended period beyond that as well?
So I think Pankaj just tried to explain this in previous question. Very difficult to time it. But definitely in the medium terms, we see margin to get normalized.
Understood. Lastly, sir, if you could just let me know the guidance going ahead for FY25 and 26.
Sorry, we do not provide any guidance.
Okay, no worries. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Chaitalia from 9 Lace EQ Research. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. My question to you is, what will be the sales mix in FY25 in terms of various kinds of films?
FY25, see, it's very difficult, you know, because it's linked to raw material prices and the margins on assets and commodities. You know, this year there's a volume growth, still the revenue numbers are coming down. So very difficult to share these numbers, you know.
Okay, sir.
Broadly, they will stay, I mean, close to 3,000 crores plus minus some percentage.
And just to add to it, you see, in FY25, company's new capacity is getting kicked in terms of CPP line, which has nameplate capacity of close to 25,000 metric tons. So this will be a significant addition. And some of the capacities which we started during the current financial year, like the thermoforming capacity metallizer, those we expect to run close to full capacity utilization next year. So those will provide further support to top line growth.
Okay, sir. Got it. Sir, my follow-up question is, the excess capacity, is it only due to domestic markets or is it due to higher imports or dumping?
So there's no import. I mean, if you see the import-export data for India as well, there's no significant imports happening in flexible packaging industry in India. So that is largely the additional capacity in the domestic industry.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Got it. That's helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Marshall, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please go ahead. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, sir, just to continue on the previous question. So, we are now investing more and more capital in the adjacent business. So, I mean, are the opportunities meaningful enough to drive meaningful growth for the overall company? You know, because, I mean, while these opportunities are there, but still they look to be of a small sort of a size compared to our overall level of the sales and EBITDA.
Oh, yeah. So these industries, I mean, whether you talk about window films globally, they are close to $2.5 billion market, expected to become $4 billion market by 2032. Rigid packaging is, again, a very big market in India. Chemicals is a huge market in India, whether it's adhesives or coatings or master batches. Your Ziggy, again, is expected to grow very significantly in the years to come. We have invested in growth industries. Obviously, on day one in a new segment, you would not like to invest huge money. You have to go step by step, and that's what we are doing. We are going step by step. As we see more momentum in these areas, we will scale up and, grow. But you do not, end up creating 3,000 crore company, in a short period. These things take time, so... we are first trying to make sure that we are making a decent entry. And then once we do that, we'll certainly scale them up. All these are scalable. There's no doubt to their scalability as such.
And what do we bring on to the table? Is it like selling to the same customers or anything else that we bring on to the table which will put a certain advantage vis-a-vis anyone else who is trying to enter into these new segments which are still subscale?
Every business has its own niche. If I talk about chemicals business, that's a technology business. If you are able to, give better properties to the customer, then customer is ready to work with you. And obviously, we have that credibility and goodwill with the customers. When you talk about rigid packaging, that helps you work directly with the brands, which is what any company wants, because then you directly become a tier one supplier. And, there, unfortunately, there are not many organized players. You see only a couple of players in that. One is Moltec, that you know, which is there in rigid packaging. Then second is your Manjushri, which was later on acquired by PE firm. So there are not many organized players, and therefore brands are looking forward to work with bigger players. And that is the reason that already... a couple of very large brands are signed up with us. When you talk about window films, it's a global business. You know already one of our competitors do make window films, and about their financials as well. And there also, it's about bringing unique products, that itself is a complete business in itself with several solutions which you provide to the customer. So all these businesses, really, again, there are a host of services and products. There are a lot of unique value propositions that you have in each one of them, and all of them are scalable. And we intend to invest step by step in all of them. And as I said earlier in the call, that we have right now invested quite a bit in the films. But in the times to come, we will be investing more in these new businesses.
Understood. And on Ziggly, so what kind of capital is required to sustain this sort of a level? So let's say we are at 35, 36 crore net revenue business right now. So what kind of capital we have invested in, and incrementally for every unit of sale, how much of capital do we need to deploy? So that is apart from the P&L losses, which I understand that, you know, maybe in 12 to 24 months we might reach break even. But what kind of capital is needed in addition to the losses to support this business?
The last 2.5 years, we have invested close to 55 crores in Ziggly. And over the next 2 years, we expect that we'll be investing another 80 to 100 crores. And for sure, for next 2 to 3 years, we will, you know, we do expect that we will become profitable. And irrespective, we will also, you know, carve out in a separate company within next 2 years, which we also announced to the market earlier.
And that would be, so in next 2 years, maybe we were targeting maybe around 200 crores or something thereabouts in terms of the net revenue GMV, net revenue value.
Net revenue, I don't think so, because we are, you know, we are right now running at a 3 crore run rate. So reaching, reaching to 200 crores may be too optimistic, but we will certainly try and target somewhere. I mean, it's again giving projections, you know, and we don't see any reasons of giving too many projections, but for sure, I mean, we feel we will be in the range of 125 to 175 crores somewhere in between.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav from Invesco Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking up this follow-up question. So, sir, these new businesses that we have launched in last 2 years specifically, right from Ziggly and then to this metallized capacitor film and now in the plastic segment, right, that is a rigid packaging format, right? So what is our expectation that in, let's say, the next 2 to 3 years, these can add in terms of percentage to our top line? So will it be 10% of our top line, 15% of our top line? So what is your expectation on this?
You know, if film business would not be growing, then I would have said that they will reach 15-20%. But the fact is, film business will also continue to grow, you know, quite a bit. So, right, overall, you know, we feel that they should be close to 10% with the way even the film business is expected to grow.
Okay, and in terms of this EBITDA margin in these new products, so Ziggly, we know that it is an e-commerce platform kind of offering, but in the rigid packaging or the capacitor, metallic capacitor films, or I would say shunt protection films also, if the EBITDA margin is going to be somewhat higher, or it is going to be on the same lines what we are earning in our traditional business?
The film business is a fluctuating margin business, while all other business will have much more stable business. We do expect that next year, Cosmo Chemicals, capacitor and rigid packaging will start to make money. We do expect in 3 to 4 quarters, even in this worst market, polyester will start to break even. Window film will take at least year and a half to turn profitable, because that also is a consumer business. And Ziggly will continue to make losses for another 2-2.5 years.
Sir, last question from my side, if you can help me. I'm not sure if I heard correctly during this call, but in the rigid packaging, are you competing with Moldtec packaging in some way, in some of the product segment that you have launched?
Yes, the IML containers are competing with Moldtec. And we're also making thermoform containers in trays, which is competing with Rajshree.
That's it. And sir, in sun protection films that you read, are you competing with Garvier in that segment, in the export market or in domestic? Is that correct understanding, or I'm having wrong impression in that segment?
Yeah, Garvare is the producer of these films, but as you may be aware, Garvare, as of now, doesn't sell much in the domestic market. though obviously now they're also trying to increase their domestic market presence. But yeah, they are the other competitors in India. And globally, if you know, they're close to 4 to 5 established players in this segment. Though in China, you know, there are multiple producers for everything, and so is the case for window films. But as far as established players are concerned, globally, there are close to 4 or 5 players.
That's it. And our focus in this particular segment is going to be domestic or export?
Both.
That's all. Thank you very much for taking up these questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Urmi Khanna from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I have one question about the CPP and the BOPP expansion in FY25 and 26. What do you see the revenues contribution from this expansion and realizations?
See, CPP will be added up in 24-25 and BOPP will start from FY25-26 first quarter. So both will start from first quarter of the respective year. As far as both put together, they will add up to close to 1,000 crores on reaching full capacity. But okay. We don't expect that within the first year itself they'll reach full capacity. They may take some time.
Okay. And also on the margins front, what do you expect it to be?
See, to be honest, first year we would be largely dealing with commodities, so we'll be linked with commodity margins on these new capacities. But here also the target is that we are working with different segment customers and build, specialty. When I talk about CPP, we're already working with so many different brands to give them very unique solutions. We have already made 4 or 5 very innovative products that we're in the process of launching with our existing CPP lines. So there the focus will remain on specialty, but in the first 2-3 years, commodity business will be more, and gradually it will get converted into specialty business. Commodity business is very difficult to comment on any margins because, they keep fluctuating. But BOPP, as we said, is largely, is going to be balanced by the time our line comes. So we have to see how the commodity margins play out.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So from the closing comments perspective, I have two key messages. One is on the margin side for the flexible packaging. So we feel near-term outlook for the BOPP and BOPET film is expected to remain challenging. However, we should get normalized in the medium term. The company's strong specialty film portfolio shall continue to help this during this period, and which in any case we are further expanding like Sun Control film. Second is, among the new business verticals as well, whether you name CSC, which is specialty chemical, capacitor metallizer, or the rigid plastic under the brand name Plastec, all are expected to earn decent EBITDA from the FY25. While Zigli may take some time to become profitable, however, should be a significant value creator. So with this, I will take a pause and would like to thank you all for joining the call. At the end of the call, I would like to further repeat the statutory declaration. Certain statements in this con call may be forward-looking statements. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are subject to uncertainty and changes in circumstances. These statements are no guarantees of future results. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. On behalf of Cosmo First Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.